makers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way.
Hi, this is Aaron Marble, pastor of Jefferson Street Missionary Baptist Church, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
And the church said amen. Oh my goodness. Yeah, he was a very wonderful guest on the Pastor's Roundtable. We'll have to see him back again in 2020. Anyway, we are just days away from a holiday. Everybody in favor. Hey, I'm in favor. I got two hands up, y'all. I'm happy, happy, happy. And, you know, I don't know what the happiness is because this has been, you know, we be busy. For real. Not proper English, but we are busy. This is a busy place here. And, you know, this...
Yes, it is.
Exhaling.
Yeah.
It's coming up in order. Chilling. Definitely. Scooting around, not doing much of anything. Chatting, seeing people, and of course, grub. grub is in order. I'm just looking so much forward to seeing my children and my grandkids and stuff. And, you know, being in the same proximity with them. And that just, you know, once you see them and you know they're there and everybody's cool and everybody's cool, then, you know, as a parent, you can breathe. My kids are here. They're good. But I know that you probably got big plans. You're going to exhale, too?
I'll try. I'll do my very best. Yeah.
No, better. You need to.
Yeah.
So that you won't be on a raggedy end when you come back.
I know, right?
Be that's tired. Be like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's hard when, you know, you have cousins. I'm sort of on the fence about it. You know, I've got cousins that flying in town to my mom's and stuff like that. So people that I don't see on a regular basis, I'm trying to figure out if I want to just go say hi and stuff like that, so I'm not sure.
You better see them people.
Again, I need to rest.
Well, I can dig it. I can dig it.
So I'm like, okay, what should I do?
See them and get a hotel.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you can say deuces.
Yeah.
I know it's a lot when you're seeing a lot of people and people get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
If you don't do a stop-by, drive-by, holler-by, they do.
Mm-hmm.
At least, and I know my family members are not the only ones that get all touchy. Well, I heard you was in town. I'm like, well, my bad. I ain't know you left me like that. But, you know, that's a tough one to have to decide, you know, what to do. So when will you make the decision about
last
20
minute.
Minutes before it's time to go?
Almost last minute. Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's a toughie.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Good luck on that one. Because somebody ain't going to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as long as Mrs. L is happy, that's, you know, my sister girl, Miss Regina's happy.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
So, but you don't have to cook those, see?
True. Yeah.
All you got to do is just
show up.
Wear your stretch pants.
And
be ready at all times.
Yeah. And then my thoughts about the traffic as well. Just
and that is a whole nother
Thanksgiving
layer.
Thanksgiving is always
oh, yes. And there's no optimum time.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that the optimum time is the best time. But I mean, I'm
everybody,
like,
everybody's thinking about
the same thing. Yep. I mean, it's like, and then there's bottlenecks.
Yep.
There's bottlenecks in certain parts of this state and getting out of here bottlenecks.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't ever know when to leave. It might be 2 o'clock in the morning and be traffic everywhere. You'd be like, where y'all going?
Yeah,
why don't y'all go home sometime?
One year, I think it was about 3 years ago, I was coming back from Georgia, and the traffic, I think that was a record year for everybody that was traveling.
Yeah.
And that particular Sunday, I mean, the roads were so packed that the GPS brought me through so many back roads and back towns.
Oh, I'm certain.
I was like, wow.
I don't travel on Sundays. Yeah. I learned that one.
Yeah.
I like to get a jump on the people.
Yeah.
You know, I like to be out of Dodge. But the bottleneck when you're going that way is always Chattanooga.
Yep.
Chattanooga. I'm like, Chat, what are you doing having a bottleneck like this? Y'all need to fix that thing down in Chat. And it messes
probably, they probably say that when they get to Nashville.
Well, I know they do, but we have an excuse, okay? Yeah. Y'all, come on.
They've had it longer. They've got Atlanta next door.
Right, yeah.
They should know
they in between two, you know, metropolitan-style places. But that chat, that'll mess you up because you feel like, oh, I'm almost there.
Yeah.
And then when you know, it's like, oh, Lord. And it inches along. And it just drags the doggone trip out so much. But I don't know if it's the way the road is made, constructed, or I'm not sure what causes that tremendous. And I think, you know where, what is it, you can go to Alabama or you can go, that's kind of.
That exit, yeah.
I mean, from, you know.
Where it splits.
And, or before you get to that, you're going pretty good until you, ooh. And it's like, inch by inch by inch. And, I get it. Tennessee needs to work on these roads. All of them. You know,
that's true.
I'm serious because, you know, this state sees a lot of travelers and stuff and, you know, sees a lot of people. This is a tourist state. Well, let's get to cracking on the roads so that people don't spend all their time in the car. If they can actually get to where they're going and enjoy themselves. Because tourism is huge in this state.
It is.
From east to west and in the middle. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't appear that is an issue of burning concern. I hadn't heard anything about any upgrades or lanes added or any of that stuff. So the state hadn't said. So that would be nice, state. Y'all could do, do a hookup out here. The citizens and the taxpayers would appreciate some more lanes and some wider roads devoted to all this traffic flow. Titans got a good day for football today. You know, it's not going to rain and it's not going to be too bad. You know, I think the fans will be happy today, I think.
They should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to sit through rain.
And I think they also, if I saw the news correctly, they're going to offer free rides.
Who is?
The Titans are.
Free rides to where?
To the game.
Are they? From where?
I guess there's a particular parking lot or an area that you would need to go to, and I guess they'll have a shuttle that'll continuously run.
They need
run.
One.
Or it's, no, I think it's Uber. There's a code. I saw it on the news this morning that if you type the code in, then you get the free ride.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a drop-off within walking distance.
Has to be. I would assume that. So if you're Ubering, I guess today is the day you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the team is going to pay. Okay. You know, I don't know if I'd want to do that for my car.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like it would just be a lot of wear and tear on your car.
Yeah.
Because this, somebody had me do something in the community and sent a car for me. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I was asking the dude that was driving, because I had one different one.
Yeah.
And that was my first time
Ubering.
I don't do all that stuff. I just don't trust people driving. you know, I'm weird like that.
Yeah.
But I asked the dude, the one that brought me back here, and he said, I asked him, has it been? He said it's been a lot of wear and tear in his car.
Yeah.
It's been expensive.
Yeah.
And that a lot of the things he's had to pay for have been out of his pocket.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see how much of an advantage it is if they're not going to help you to at least cover some of the costs. Because you start putting them ticking those miles on your car, it's not going to be worth anything if you decide to trade it in. Because the more miles you have on it, the least you're going to get for it if you do a trade-in.
Exactly.
So, I don't know.
For Uber, some people do it full-time, but I think people who, let's say, for instance, if they drove a cab for a living but decided to say, you know, I'm going to make my own money because I make more Ubering. Well, you should have
cabs,
a vehicle.
Don't they supply the vehicles?
They do.
Yeah.
But you still paying, the company's still getting more of their cut. But with Uber, you get more, you get paid better. And so.
Because you're bearing all the expenses.
Exactly. So you would need a car that will be your run car, your car that you would use just for that. And the vehicle, preferably the vehicle that you, what you're saying, your luxury vehicle, your newer vehicle, leave that parked and not use that to Uber.
Well, if you got it like Anthony, you don't even need to have a Uber job. You just got two cars. I mean, come on now, you know.
I mean, just you know that car that you know the car that is paid off.
Who
and
wants
the one
to
that
get
you,
in a junk car?
Doesn't have to be a junk car, but they need a ride.
Well, okay, my point. Because I just, you know, I might not want to ride up in that.
Yeah. And I think some people may do it just, I've seen people, let's say, for instance, okay, I'm going to go to Antioch. And they have the Uber app or they're considered an Uber driver.
Yeah.
They can just turn it on and say, see if someone needs a ride to Antioch and get paid going in the same direction that they were going to anyway, just by giving somebody a ride. So, so there's different ways that people make money.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Just it's different strokes, different folks. But because the dude said he had driven for both.
Yeah.
And he said the money was okay, but it balances. It doesn't cover you enough financially.
Yeah.
The drivers still have a lot of the burdens.
Yeah. It's not like being able to park your car in the garage or in the parking lot and walk into the building and do 8 hours and then you spend 4 or 5 hours just driving all day and your car is keep getting oil changes and you keep getting your tires are worn
and tires is high honey and brakes Lord help me Lord windshield wipers
all that stuff
I mean and who don't nobody want to ride with you Uber or not or Lyft or not. If your tires are slick, okay, that's real. But that's the kind of stuff you'd have to wonder.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a lot. But anyway, it was nice to have for them to do that for me because I was like feeling special. I'm like, oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. And that was just very thoughtful. Anyway, so we got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. We got a lot of travel and a lot of meal prep and this and that and the other and you know a lot of folks getting together and loved ones and are we thankful though y'all? That would be an important thing to consider because being thankful is what this whole thing is all about. What are you thankful for, Mr. Lawson?
Everything. Yeah, every single thing. I don't want to take anything for granted.
Okay. For rain and sleet and snow, everything.
Everything.
Come on, Lord. He said everything. Yeah. I am thankful that the Lord gave me another day to be here and get here safely. And sometime I like to name them one by one.
Yeah.
And I know I ain't got all day. So I am thankful for everything that the Lord has put in my life in person I have encountered. And my job I have, praise the Lord, and my good friends and family, and, of course, my listeners. Y'all are the ones. I mean, you're just faithful and true and just unbelievably wonderful. So I'm very thankful to have good and faithful listeners that have been listening. Some of these people out there that have listened to me have been listening to me on the air for years. So I am particularly grateful for all of you all that tune in, find the dial, enjoy the station, etc. That's what's up. Because when you enjoy it, it allows it to continue on. And that's really what the bottom line is. And to all of our family out there in the WFSK family, we want to wish you happy Thanksgiving as well. And blessings to you and your family. And all of our volunteers. We could not do this without you. Anyway, having said all of the above, coming up during the next hour, I'm looking forward to talking with this particular guest. He's a pastor, coach, author, and speaker, Roderick L. Hairston. And Pastor Hairston has a new book, and it is entitled Cover Him, Caring for the Hidden Needs, Thoughts, and Feelings of the Man You Love. Mm-hmm. So,
a book for us?
A book for you, honey. Well, hallelujah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Written by a man. Who knows?
All right.
So, yeah, we're going to crack the pages today and get to talking about some stuff. And, there's a lot of books written for y'all. Quit trying to feel sorry for men. Y'all have everything.
No,
we're the ones that don't have
nothing. We don't.
Now, you're going to start me up this morning. Everything is designed for men. You know that. All the health tests and all the wages and jobs and titles and promotions, they're all about the man. His first book was about the women.
Okay.
See. So I'ma have to tell Pastor what you say. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. The Port 4 WFSK comes from Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. You should be at the center of your own healthcare, and we are here to help you. Call the Nashville Healthcare Center today and make an appointment with one of our primary care providers, 615-341-4488, or visit us on the web at NashvilleHealthcareCenter.com. Jazzy 88 WFSK, your destination station for smooth and contemporary jazz.
Hi, this is Bob Baldwin.
This is Gerald Albright.
This is Alex Bunyan.
This is Candy Dulfer.
This is saxophonist Dave Koz.
This is Stanley Jordan.
This is Tony Grace from the group 480 East.
Oh, this is Eric Essex.
We are Take 6.
We're Jazzy 88, your station for smooth and contemporary jazz. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 W. FSK at Historic Fisk University. And let's take a quick glance at this forecast before I roll in to these headlines. We're all good today. Sunny, really nice. 54. Yesterday it's kind of crisp. It was kind of cool yesterday. It kind of breezed up cool,
Yeah. Damp.
But today it's beautiful. 54 is our high this afternoon. Claire will continue for us tonight through tomorrow. Sun back and 2 days of sun and then off and on rain for the rest of the week. If you're traveling, starting Tuesday, we have a 20, increasing the 60% chance of showers are likely for us on Tuesday. 65 is the high, though. And by Tuesday night, 90%. So it's going to be raining all over this place for a couple of days. Wednesday, the chance for rain decreases down to 20, and it's back to 30 on Thanksgiving Day. The highs will be pleasant, though, that's for sure. 65 Tuesday, 62 Wednesday, and 51 on Thanksgiving Day. So that's how it's looking for you in and around the Nashville area. Currently, we have a beautiful sunny sky and 35 degrees. And headlines, I've got some this morning. Let's see what we got going on out of Nashville. President Donald Trump's abrupt announcement of plans to withdraw American troops from northern Syria last month inspired Nashville to light its city hall and a prominent bridge downtown in the green, yellow, and red of the Kurdish flag. For decades, Kurds have called Nashville a little Kurdistan enclave. The city has the largest Kurdish population in the U.S. The U.S. community of up to 40,000 Kurds has felt largely helpless to aid their homeland of late as images of death and despair invade social media. Many feel a new level of betrayal by Trump after watching Turkey attack their people and push them out of Syria. In Nashville, the community collected hundreds of boxes of donated clothes and essentials to send to Kurds who fled Syria to a camp in Iraq. They were done so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you notice you haven't seen that many images, pictures and images of the slaughter.
As that's by order of the White House, I'm very sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Anything that, you know, doesn't paint a rosy picture. Oh, well, the truth shall come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait.
You're not going to have the Oval Office forever.
No.
There are people who will come behind
and
you.
And God's still on the that's throne.
Right. And documents, you can hide them, but, you know, as we discovered in those and impeachment hearings,
the Lord is people, still on the that's throne. Right. That's what's up, Jack. Out of Knoxville, authorities in Tennessee say they captured an unrestrained inmate who escaped from a hospital and ran through the parking lot. Cell phone video taken by a Facebook user who said they were leaving the doctor on Wednesday shows the man still clad in his striped uniform jogging away from the University of Tennessee Medical Center. News outlets report authorities confirmed the Knox County Sheriff's Office was escorting Jason Hale into the hospital when he ran off into the woods. A sheriff's office statement obtained by news outlets said deputies, police, and hospital security set up a perimeter and captured Hale about 30 minutes after he escaped. He ran around in prison mm-hmm. pajamas or prison outfit, thinking nobody was going to notice that. Really, dude? You got on prison jail stripes and nobody gonna notice. Knoxville police spokesman Scott Erland said Hale was found near the hospital. Records show he has December court dates for drug and theft charges. And now he's gonna face more charges.
Yep.
You know, that's inevitable. But you just happen to be taking a cell phone video of yourself and putting it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And the dude runs by, escaped jail inmate, and can you just go figure in your head? Okay, that video isn't on Facebook yet. I mean, it hasn't been viral. I am certain somebody's going to have that on their stuff. Anyway, out of also, let's stay here in come back to Nashville. Tennessee State Fire Marshal's office has disclosed requirements for the use of flame-effective devices at events after a fire at an NFL game. The Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance says the Fire Marshal's office will accept two methods to show compliance with state law and adopted safety codes. Permit applicants are asked to provide information that the flame-effective device meets certain requirements from the National Fire Protection Association. If that requirement can't be met, the applicant can provide a letter from a registered engineer certifying the device is reasonably safe and does not endanger property or people's lives. An application will not be approved if it doesn't meet the requirements. A flame system caught fire during a Tennessee Titans game at Nissan Stadium in Nashville on September 15th. No one was injured. Boy, that's frightening. You know, the thing catches on fire, the Techno Pyrex, they, you know, shooting.
And then you
got to
go out there and try. Man, and that's always dangerous.
Yeah. You got to, you know, freak out and figure out what in the world is, you know, is it your lying eyes or the stuff really burning up? We have to run or what?
Yeah.
You know, I know it's kind of a surprise for the people in the stands. You know, wow, that's caught on fire. Anyway, let's go to take a look at Alabama and see what's going on in Hainesville, Alabama. An Alabama sheriff was fatally shot last night in a community near the state's capital. Authorities announced an 18-year-old suspect was taken into custody after an hours-long manhunt. Governor Kay Ivey tweeted that Lowndes County Sheriff John Williams had been tragically killed in the line of duty and that she offered her prayers and sympathy to his family and the county sheriff's department. The suspect in custody was 18-year-old William Chase Johnson. Montgomery County Sheriff Derek Cunningham initially told news outlets that Williams was shot at a gas station. The state had issued an emergency alert saying it was seeking an 18-year-old white man last seen at a QV gas station at 8:15 p.m. in the area and around the time of the reported shooting. Sergeant Steve Jarrett, the commander of the state troopers, gave that information last night. Lowndes County is predominantly black. It had a population of around 11,000 in the 2010 census. In 2007, more than 60 people gathered at the county courthouse to protest then-Governor Bob Riley's appointment of a white law enforcement officer to replace the county's deceased sheriff. At the time, the county commission president said all five commissioners and other elected officials had recommended Williams, who is black, for the position. During his decades-long career with the sheriff's office, Williams notably in 2000 was the arresting officer of Jameel Abdul Al-Amin, a 1960s black militant who was known as H. Rap Brown before converting to Islam. Al-Amin was wanted, and later convicted in the fatal 2000 shooting of a Fulton County Sheriff's deputy in Atlanta. So he was a veteran of that force, and that job is really, really one that you have to stay prayed up at all times. Mm-hmm. Law enforcement, that one is really tough. And he's one, I think, number five in that they've lost, law enforcement in that state. Anyway, let's see what we have going on out of the national news headlines here. Halifax, Nova Scotia. Let's see. The Secretary of the U.S. Navy said yesterday that he doesn't consider a tweet by President Donald Trump an order and would need a formal order to stop a review of a sailor who could lose his status as a Navy SEAL. Navy Secretary Richard Spencer said, "I need a formal order to act." And referring to the tweet, he said, "I don't interpret them as a formal order." Trump insisted last Thursday that the Navy will not be taking away warfighter and Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher's Trident pin, inserting himself into an ongoing legal review of the sailor's ability to hold on to the pin that designates him as a SEAL. The Navy on Wednesday notified Chief Petty Officer Edward Gallagher that he will face a review early next month to determine if he should remain on the elite force. Gallagher was acquitted of a murder charge in the stabbing death of an Islamic State militant captive, but a military jury convicted him of posing with the corpse while in Iraq in 2017. That is so tasteless. He was then demoted to chief. Trump's initial order in Gallagher's only referred to restoring his rank, but it did not explicitly pardon the SEAL for any wrongdoing. Removing their Trident pins means they will no longer be SEALs, but could remain in the Navy.
Yeah.
Is Trump on a crusade to undo anybody in that is lawless? I mean, you know, we might as well throw the prison doors open to everybody.
Yes, he is. And for all the people who stand by him, the Marsha Blackburns and all the other people in Tennessee who constantly were up in arms about President Obama and all the things he did over
meddling in other affairs.
Yeah,
this is
it's sort of it does a lot of damage to the United. People don't understand. This hurts the United States of America in ways
they don't understand because they watch Fox News.
Yeah.
It's real clear.
It endangers
why they don't
our national
understand.
Security because.
And they read Breitbart. That's why they don't understand. Because they're not getting an understanding.
Yeah. He should have. They should take his Trident. And I suspect that part of the only reason why he is even still in the Navy is because of his service to the country. But if you currently serve. One of the things that causes you to serve day in and day out, other than just being paid, is the fact
dignity.
That there it is, dignity and honor and respect. And when you are deployed
integrity.
Overseas, that your character and the character of the United States goes with you, and that helps to keep you safe.
Well,
so that when you're out and you have a family,
okay.
So when you're overseas and you have a family and you're living overseas and you're serving the country and you're in a place where people would no longer respect your country, then we're in trouble. And people don't seem to get that aspect of what he's doing.
No, they're not going
to
get it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're sitting there watching Fox News.
Yeah. And if you're a soldier and you're serving in harm's way and you're watching the president do this craziness, you're going to do what?
No, they...
It's like, you know what?
In your head, just tell yourself that everybody who's watching that news and reading those right-wing things is on a whole nother frequency.
They are.
And they are
brainwashed.
They're
like sheep.
So
that includes
it has not and will not penetrate.
That includes TBN. That includes TBN.
That
I stopped
will not
to watch.
Penetrate.
I think it was Pat Roberts last week,
years.
And my jaw just dropped because I couldn't believe this was during the impeachment hearings, and I was watching the way they covered it, and I was like, wow. He said, "I don't understand why." You know, all he did was have a phone call with another leader, and they want to impeach him. Those are his exact words. He had a phone call with another leader, and they want to impeach him for that.
Well,
that was his understanding of what the whole impeachment.
And look what Bill Clinton went down for.
Yeah,
okay.
That was his. And I sat there watching that and how they covered that, and I said, "Really, Pat?
That's
it's
not
obvious.
Covered.
You didn't watch the hearings, did you, Pat? Somebody gave him his talking points.
I don't even see how you can still continue to watch that.
Yeah, no, you know how you say it just happened to fall on. Okay. I hadn't seen TBN in years.
I cut that stuff out of my life.
But
he was
on at the time when I turned the TV on, and I just said, "You know what? Let me see what he's saying." And I looked at it. I said, "So this is what the religious right is watching." And I said, "Oh my God! No wonder they're in trouble."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they love Paula White.
Yeah.
So,
it's ridiculous. But another reason why he's doing it is because he's corrupt. And if he can normalize
corruption.
Criminality, when he gets caught, yeah, he can blame it. He can blame it on the government. Well, the government mistreated him and he was done wrong, so I'm going to pardon him. The government mistreated that person, so he was wrong, so I'm going to pardon that person. I'm going to help that person because the government did them wrong.
So when it's time for him to go down, while we're supposed to say we pardon you, government is after me too.
Boom. And then his sheep come out and they go, he's the greatest president ever. He's like God. You can't. So I said, you know what? You need to go find the master.
Because
you're following the wrong voice.
God is God alone.
Yeah, you're following. Yeah. You're not hearing the voice of Jesus. I'm sorry. His sheep know his voice.
Yeah, we do. We know how he smells and everything. Okay. You got the tall cup of coffee over there today, don't you?
On Sundays, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's super early.
Yeah. Amen. So,
yeah, what is it, 7:37?
Yeah.
So if people don't understand, it's the caffeine. They're up. I'm just putting my feet. I'm just getting dressed and brushing my teeth. They're up and rolling up there. Right.
Yeah, cranked up,
coffee,
Jack.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna give you one more. No, I'm going to go to break.
Okay.
Because I already know the engine's running.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't want you to run out of engine before 8 o'clock.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Well, when the next one.
It's even crazier.
Well, you'll be, you know, I'm pretty certain that we'll be talking about this one.
Okay.
Anyway, let's see. We got a couple more things coming up. Got a lighter side story here as well. 8 o'clock book, Cover Him. Pastor, author, coach, and speaker. Roderick L. Hairston. And Pastor Hairston is in Baltimore. So we're looking forward to talking with him today. And in the Cover Him book, caring for the hidden needs, thoughts, and feelings of the man you love. So we'll be going into some amen corners in here with him today. And covering the man you love. His first book was Cover Her. Mm-hmm. So
I remember that.
All right. So don't nobody get their jaws in the wad. Don't get all puffy huffy. It's about covering all both sides. And his church is Senior Pastor Messiah Community Church outside of Baltimore. So we'll be chatting with him here shortly. But first, let's take this time out, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. Will you volunteer to help people like Richard, a U.S. Naval veteran who suffered severe PTSD after his service? He was left homeless for a period of time, and his oral and overall health are suffering. Because of congressional limitations, the VA can't provide the dental help he needs. Through our Will You See One Vet program, we focus on helping U.S. military veterans like Richard. Now we are seeking more general dentists and specialists to donate treatment to at least one veteran with special needs. When you volunteer with DLN's program to see one vet, we handle the details so you can focus on the care. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message and help us make a difference in the life of a veteran in need. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org.
Support for WFSK comes from Kingdom Cafe, located at 2610 Jefferson Street, featuring Southern dining and a pleasant atmosphere. Open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Enjoy favorites like macaroni and cheese, mustard and turnip greens, cornbread, desserts, and so much more. Kingdom Cafe at 2610 Jefferson Street, Nashville. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88. WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I only see one church announcement today.
Wow.
You don't have any on your side?
No. Everything in terms of that community happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff.
Community
was.
Fair. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have December 1st is coming up. And the First Baptist South Englewood Church is having their Soundwaves Mass Choir concert on that day.
Well, I guess none of the churches in Nashville have all activities. Yeah, I guess that's...
Maybe they just didn't get their church announcements in.
Okay.
And, you know, that's okay.
All right.
It's on them. I mean, you know, I lay the stuff out. It's on them. I can't buy you books, send you to school, and to put the fork in your mouth now. Come on. The church is at 1515 Ann Street, and it's going to be at 4, and it's going to be lovely. And I know you all that love great gospel music are really going to enjoy the Soundwaves Mass Choir and Pastor Napoleon J. Harris will be in the house. Now, let me get back to some headlines. Let's see. Let me mention... I got to get my Pope story in. You know, I had to slide
He's been quiet lately, hadn't he?
Church news. Out of, some say Hiroshima, some say Hiroshima. Pope Francis traveled to Hiroshima and Nagasaki today to demand that world powers renounce their nuclear arsenals, declaring the use and possession of atomic bombs an immoral crime and a dangerous waste. I think everybody can understand that. Standing before survivors of the 1945 U.S. atomic bombings, Francis denounced the steady erosion of arms control agreements and rejected the Cold War era doctrine of deterrence that had been sanctioned by the Catholic Church for nearly three decades. In the reign of Nagasaki and the silent darkness of Hiroshima, he urged political leaders to accept that true peace and international security cannot be built in a climate of distrust, but rather solidarity. Francis said the use of atomic energy for purposes of war is immoral, and he declared that during a nighttime prayer at Hiroshima's Peace Memorial. He added off the cuff, as is the possession of atomic weapons, we will be judged for this, he warned. He laid a second wreath of flowers at the memorial of 26 Nagasaki martyrs who were crucified in 1597 at the start of the two-century wave of anti-Christian persecution by Japanese rulers. So the Pope is on the job 24/7.
Yeah. You know. Now, if he could just apologize for the church's role in slavery.
Now, see, there you go, stretching.
I got to say it, though. Maybe, you know.
He's making his way over this
one of these Catholic churches, listening, one of these one of these archbishops of one of these dioceses who might meet with him and whisper in his ear. You know
happen.
What? It could happen.
It could happen.
We'll give God the glory. Yeah.
The Lord has to move on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And only the Father can.
He's
going to
fix some stuff. Fix one of the biggest things.
He can fix things.
Fix the biggest thing that y'all, y'all ever did that caused a travesty on planet Earth.
He can fix it. The Father can fix it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he will.
Mm-hmm.
And the fix on it don't come on Earth. If it comes in heaven, we'll take it. We'll take it. It might be a heavenly fix. You know, that would be nice.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be here on Earth, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. Just give me my crown. Come on, Lord. I want that big shiny one over there. Anyway, let's go back to the nation's capital. Offering his own take on 5 long days of public hearings, President Donald Trump brushed off the impeachment inquiry as, quote, total nonsense on Friday, and badmouthed the number of the U.S. diplomats who testified to Congress about his Ukraine pressure campaign. Now, that's total nonsense. Pressure campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ukraine's lie they're churning out, that's total nonsense. In one breath, Trump said House Democrats looked like fools during the hearings on Capitol Hill. Man, he just cuts people up. In another, he offered a window into his political strategy ahead of an expected House vote to impeach him. If that happens, the Senate would hold a trial on whether to oust him from office. Now, imagine if Obama had called the Congress fools.
Yeah.
How quickly out of town would he be run out
of the rail? They'd be trying to impeach him.
I mean, come on.
They'd be impeaching him because they would say that he's a king attacking the own. This is the Constitution. I can see Mitch McConnell now with that. Yeah.
If he called an impeachment inquiry a total nonsense and a hoax.
Yeah.
How appalled would Lindsey Graham be and Mitch McConnell?
A hoax.
They would be laying perklempt on the
floor. Like Obama was born in
Kenya.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
And his mama wasn't a white lady from Kansas. Wow. Yeah, whatever.
Travesty. He's trampling on the Constitution.
Right. And have you been watching?
Which part?
Impeachment hearings.
Yes.
I thought they'd been pretty compelling.
Yeah. When a man shows up in uniform and raises his right hand, and then you have another the actual ambassador who was sort of brushed out of the way. What was her name? Fiona Hill.
Yeah, Fiona.
And she says, you all are, every time you use these rushing talking points that Ukraine was involved in the meddling.
You're working for Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, there you go. And so what does Nunes do? He keeps pushing it.
I know.
And then, so I'm like, you know what? So that's what I'm talking about. When people don't understand about the world being a dangerous place, because Trump is able to, here's what I suspect he'll
try
and
do. No, they don't understand mind games, okay? Because this is the Jedi mind trick that's going on people's heads.
As the body of Christ, this is why I've been sort of getting on the pastors when they come on here.
Let me finish the story
first. Oh, go ahead.
And then I'll let you go and do this. Anyway, Trump says that, I think we had a tremendous week with the hoax. He said this this week at the White House. At the same time, he talked up debunked conspiracy theories that Ukraine interfered in the 2016 election, speaking one day after a former White House advisor testified that the claim was a fictional narrative that played into the hands of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Trump also repeated claims that Obama administration officials spied on his campaign and underscored the need to keep Republicans unified against impeachment. He said, I don't think I've ever seen support in the Republican Party like we do right now. In a 57-minute animated phone call interview on Fox and Friends, a.k.a. Trump TV. He did not expect to be impeached. But he added that if the House did vote to impeach him, he will welcome a child in the Republican-led Senate.
Wow.
Okay. He would welcome a child.
Yeah. And so that, I don't have a problem with him saying that.
Are you going to testify?
I mean, I don't have a problem with him saying that. That right there. I mean, that's positive thinking.
The double talk that comes, the double talk that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Just like he was going to support the immigrants and support gun rights and going to support building the infrastructure, the roads, and did none of that.
Yeah.
You mean that same kind of, I want a child. So, I mean, he just double talks.
Yeah.
That he doesn't want a child. Because would he testify?
He's gonna rig it. See, everything he does, he's going to rig it. That's why he sent for Susan Collins and the other young lady who serves in the Senate and the other guy who ran for president.
Joni Ernst.
Huh?
Joni Ernst. Yeah.
And the guy who's now a senator who ran for president. The tall guy, billionaire guy from Utah.
Oh, Romney.
Mitt Romney, that's right. So that's why he met with them, because if they start deflecting, that could become contagious, especially if they start speaking out. And he wants to stop people from speaking out.
Yeah.
And so
of course.
The problem that we're facing as the United States is, and a lot of this is going to be on Mitch McConnell as well, China, Russia, and some of these other nations that would like to seize power on the globe because they've been held at bay because of the light and the governing of I would say the Christianity in combination with the United States, and you see the vacuum of moral leadership on the planet. They would love nothing more than to see Donald Trump get reelected, because they could go ahead and have more of a power grab.
Yeah, because he's
and they could do much more damage.
Because they see that this
exactly.
Insane cycle is, you know, people love it.
Yes.
They're drinking it like this is the best Kool-Aid they've ever had.
Yes.
I'm like, what?
So we are in trouble as a nation. And I can't, and so this is why, if you're a Republican, what are you doing? Mm. Do you not understand that this guy is a criminal, and that if he gets another 4 more years, it's game over on planet Earth in terms of us being global leaders and being able to have influence, because our credibility is gone. You got Donald Trump in the White House doing immoral acts. He's got other personal things that we can't find it because he's blocking it through the courts. So in the meantime, people who are dictators and who've been waiting to seize power on the globe,
thrilled.
Boom.
Yeah, they're thrilled.
They are like, oh, my God.
They are thrilled.
There it is. There's no moral.
Like, yes.
There it is.
And that's what people want to see from this Christian nation.
Yep.
They want to see us rebuke Christianity. And I mean, I am like, man, y'all taking this thing to another place.
And it's all for power. Because what he would like to do is, if he has a trial in the Senate, is more shenanigans, but sort of force them to use this as an opportunity to springboard a reelection.
Yeah.
And so that's his game plan, to try and use that to energize the base. But I'm like, you know what? You're energizing the base off of lies and deceit, and you're trying to help them. Look at Lindsey Graham. I watched the interview with Joe Biden,
God.
And I listened to Joe Biden, and I said, and I turned to Regina. I said, listen to him. That's why Trump is scared of him,
because
he just cuts through.
Yeah.
He just sort of cuts through the silliness in a way that just sort of gets your attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I just happen to be getting my car oil and everything.
And where is he? Did you see what he said to Lindsey Graham?
What?
About how they were supposed to be friends. And he said, Lindsey, I'm embarrassed by you. Then they showed a clip of Lindsey Graham.
Well, look how he did McCain.
Yeah.
John McCain.
Yeah. Yeah. He needs to be called out for that. Yeah.
like
he's a fair weather friend.
Talking to your friend out? I mean, then you're going to be crying at his funeral? I mean, what kind of friend are you, dude?
He's not one.
He is terrible.
He's not one.
As a friend, he's
an opportunist.
Not. Yeah, he totally.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, he's
political parasite.
He's going to have to pay.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was saying is yesterday, and then I need to finish up these stories. I was getting my car checked, you know, oil change and all that. And, you know, sometimes you can tell that somebody, when this lady was talking, you know, it was two or three people of us sitting in there. It was two black people and two white people, male and female white, two black, male and female. And, you know, how you chit-chat and all that, you know, killing time. And she started talking something about currency and different things of that nature. And, you know, you can't trust this and blasés. And then skip through the conversation, you know, like this, like with when it came to money, was ever going to be trusted in the first place. I'm glad Trump is in there. When she said that, I was like, lady, come on now. Listen. I'm glad he's in there because we don't have to worry about our money. And like we did when Obama was there and he stole 9 million homes.
What?
And so, you know, I had to get up on the edge of my seat. I said, excuse me, ma'am. I don't mean any harm. But that is absolutely not a true statement. Obama didn't steal 9 million homes. He saved 9 million homes because of the foreclosure crisis that started prior to his administration.
Remember Bush?
And he created these programs to help homeowners stay in their programs.
Yeah.
And I am someone who was in one of them programs.
Yep.
And I'm thankful, okay? Because that mortgage crisis thing was real.
Did she say, I'm sorry?
Well, she wanted to change the subject.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I said, you know, you're going to think what you're going to think, but that right there is a total lie.
I'm sure she ignored it.
Well,
and
she
found
may
something
have,
else,
but
found
I had
another
to,
talking point.
I had to cut through with that.
Yeah.
I had to cut through that lie because that was a Fox TV lie.
Yeah.
And I just had to cut through it. And I was like, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, but had not been for I would have lost my house. So don't you tell me about what Obama took. He saved. So that shut her, you know, she went on to talking about something else.
What planet was she from?
I don't know.
Did she not remember that Bush was the one who...
It
was 8 years of Republicans spending out of control and the Bush tax cuts.
Right. It started with the savings and loan industry. The banks like Bank of America and Wells Fargo.
Too big to fail.
Yeah, and
they got a bailout, but
Merrill Lynch and all. It started with all of those
people. We couldn't get an infrastructure bill to rebuild America, but we bailed out the banks.
But to take the story and the facts of the story and the history and the story and turn it into Obama stole 9 million people's houses was farther than I was ready to go before high noon, okay?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Lord.
She got a lesson that day, didn't she?
excuse me, I must correct that inaccuracy.
Yep.
And, you know, because usually when people say stuff that's just utterly ridiculous, I let it slide.
Do I dare ask what color was she?
She was a white lady.
I thought so. Now, I love white people.
I set the scene.
Okay.
I said it was two.
Missed that part. I'm only asking because I'm thinking to myself.
She was talking about fiat currency or something like that.
But I'm thinking to myself, doesn't she understand that when you say Obama and people losing houses and I love Trump to a black woman, what did she think you were going to say?
Maybe she didn't think.
Yeah.
Okay.
She thought you were going to sit there and sort of clam up and just sort of have nothing to say back. Kind of, so she
could.
She learned that day.
I didn't want to go through my Rolodex of facts up in my head, but I'm just saying, you know, I have to, when I hear something that is so off the wall, I must.
Something you can Google and get.
Just where did you get that from? He did not steal 9 million people's homes.
So where was she at when Bush was in office? What was she doing?
Looking at her fiat currency. I don't know.
The end of the Bush presidency, where was she at? Did she not have friends and
I'm just telling you,
lost homes?
I am telling you.
Wow.
I was just simply trying to have a no-brainer day.
This is why when you read the Old Testament and you see that you had bad kings on bad leaders and the people suffered.
This is why I pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay? So I can speak back to something that is so outrageously crazy that it must be shut down. Anyway, I didn't get to this, but I just wanted to say that this thing was
she got a lesson out that day.
Oh.
I love those.
Who was that little black lady?
I love. So that's why I watch the news, because I'm waiting on somebody to come around me with something. Yeah, what?
Well, this was a short conversation.
I bet.
And I was cool with it. You know, I didn't get all neck and all that. I just said, you know, ma'am, that's not the facts.
Some black folk are informed. Thank you. All of us are standing on the corner.
As my mama used to say, I read.
Yeah. Now all of us are standing on the corner with our pants hanging down, slinging. Not all of us. And even those who are still educated in some cases.
Oh, that was, I mean, but that's the way it is. Sometimes you gotta tell, you know, when stuff is ridiculous, mm-hmm. you just gotta call it what
it
is.
It was ridiculous.
All right, let's take a time. It really was. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You've been listening to.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.